What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is December 16th, 2025, as you're watching this. It's Monday, December 15th, as we sit down to record. It's a little before 2 p.m. on the left coast. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you hanging in there, Mark?
Doing good, bud. I'm excited because, you know, Christmas is coming up, and the FBI decided to give me a personal present, you know, one of my favorite things, which is a dipshit, false flag, overhyped terror plot breakup.
Mm-hmm.
I was texting you about this morning. You asked me a really funny question. I don't know why you're like, can you prove this is fake? And right. I was like, that I know you know this, but that's not how proof works. But it's apparently not how the FBI thinks proof works.
Right.
You have to prove it's real. That's like, mm-hmm. that's really sort of how proof works. But anyway, so what we're talking about is like, let me read this headline. Four charged with plotting New Year's Eve attacks on Southern California, prosecutors say. Now, let me quote from the story, then I'll tell you what's fucking hilarious about it. Okay, so federal authorities on Monday announced the arrests of four alleged members of an extremist group who are suspected of planning coordinated bombing attacks on New Year's Eve across Southern California. They are members of an offshoot of a pro-Palestinian group dubbed the Turtle Island Liberation Front, the complaint said.
Mm-hmm. So Antifa splinter cell.
Yeah, an Antifa splinter cell that's mm-hmm. pro-Palestinians that were going to blow up ICE trucks, who are named after like the Iroquois mythology that the earth is held up by a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
So you know this is very real because it'd be like the name of a terrorist group. If you see it's like the Trans Vegan Alliance for a Free Kurdistan, you know you're cooking with something really good here.
Yeah. What's funny also about that is that they, meaning the right, they actually do that all the time, unironically. Do you know what I mean? Like every like far right, like crazy think tank and stuff is always like, Patriots for Liberty and fucking, you know, Eagle Sounds or whatever. Like they're always, all their organizations always are literally named super on the nose like that. So it makes sense that they would do the same for, you know, devising an opposing example or whatever.
And we keep bringing up like one battle after another on this podcast, but like this is just the left wing terror group Leonardo DiCaprio is in, mm-hmm. in one battle after another, except with four people in it.
Right.
Like it's such a fucking farce. Now I thought this was silly, but then like because the gap between the noise around a thing and the thing is often pretty wide, right? So like what made this super big news was the attorney general herself was tweeting about this. So it got national coverage. Think about like the kind of cases that got the attorney general to talk on it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing perp walks for four dinguses, but then you go read the actual charging documents here or the details of the case. Is there four people who were charged with conspiracy and possessive of a destructive device? They were making homemade black powder with saltpeter, charcoal, and sulfur. So very weak-ass fucking gunpowder. And what they were planning to do was property damage. And even the feds say that their plan was if any actual human beings came, like, approached toward the danger area, they'd warn them to get away.
Mm-hmm.
People doing property damage with homemade firecrackers. That's what the feds are actually alleging here.
Right.
But the talking around it and naming it something as stupid as the Turtle Island Liberation Front and treat it like it's a real terror group.
Right. So these are real people, and they had mm-hmm. some sort of real plan, but it's pretty Mickey Mouse, and also there was no actual violence towards other people ever intended, even by the FBI's own admission. So it wouldn't be otherwise much of a story or a big of note, really, at all, except for the political convenience of it, because they can, you know, announce it and act like I said up top, it's an Antifa splinter cell who was gearing up to do domestic terrorism. So it's like they can like spin it that way. So it's, you know, useful for them in that manner. But otherwise, it's like a pretty big nothing burger. Right. But it is real people who are going to do some.
Well, if you believe them,
shenanigans, yes. Some real shenanigans.
If you believe the charges, they're saying they found some real people who they say were up to shenanigans. But if you take them at face value for what they put in the charging documents, it's the equivalent of like four fucking wing nuts had plans to put bananas in the tailpipe of some Planned Parenthood vans.
Right. Yeah.
But like, just the fucking what drove me crazy, the Turtle Island Liberation Front part of this, acting like they started the new Symbionese Liberation Army or some shit. So, but the context here, there's not been a lot of mainstream media coverage of this, but last week, the Justice Department directed the FBI to compile a list of Americans whose activities, quote, may constitute domestic terrorism, end quote, according to a memo leaked to independent journalist Ken Klippenstein, all right? Also, the wider context here, you got to think about the competency of the fucking FBI in the era of Cash Patel after they laid off everybody who can do addition without taking their socks off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's talk about the Brown University shooting over the weekend here for a second. Gunman's at large. He walked into a crowded lecture hall and shot, I think, 16 people, and I think two died. Awful shit. In the middle of the shooting, Trump Truth Out posted that they had the shooter in custody when they did not.
Mm-hmm.
So someone hypothetically, if they believed the president who was sheltering in place, saw the president say that everything's fine now, could have come out and gotten shot.
Right.
Later on, Cash Patel did the same thing for the third time in less than a month. He announced that he had a suspect in custody who turned out to be in it. Like they caught a guy and said they had him. They put his name out. There was in-depth reporting on this guy's fucking identity. Then they let him go later and said, actually, we didn't do it. So either the guy did do it and they let him go, or he didn't do it. They fucking framed the wrong guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is at a time when a bunch of people on the right are calling for Cash Patel's firing because he's a fucking dingus who's too smitten with his girlfriend, right? And then the Epstein files are also supposed to be released later this week. So that's important context for all this shit going on while they're all trying to look busy and look very tough and in charge of the crime stuff. So you asked me to prove whether this group is fake. All right. I want to talk about a little bit more about the Turtle Island Liberation Front here for a second. So I was trying to go into my rabbit hole. I was trying to figure out the truth of this matter, where this group is, or where they get their name from. So what I've determined is either the group doesn't exist or it's literally just the four people the FBI arrested and they're overstating who they are. So the FBI, in their reporting, they pointed to an Instagram account. It was an empty account made in October that only shows a repost of the founding LA chapter that had 13 likes. All right. The LA account for the founding chapter was made in July. Other than that, the first time the name the Turtle Island Liberation Front pops up on the internet is a Reddit post in a vexillology form in 2021. Vexillology
flags,
the study of the symbolism on flags,
mm-hmm.
where someone used with their knowledge they learned on the vexillology forum made a flag for this fake organization, the Turtle Island Liberation Front, as a joke. If you got that's the flag they made for the Turtle Island Liberation Front. Dope ass flag, gotta admit.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I like it.
Red and black with a turtle and a star. Dig it. So what we have here is the best and worst of the internet. You got a bunch of nerds who are really into flags, bonding over their shared passion. One of them uses what he learns to make a fake flag for a made-up group. Then you have a bunch of people pretending it's real to be psychotic about it, and the FBI getting duped about it, maybe.
Right.
The next time it appears online is a reference to it in 2023 in a video game called Hearts of Iron, and a modification where Kim Jong-un and Richard Nixon are part of a California corporatocracy ruled by Curtis Yarvin.
Nice. Sounds fun.
Yeah. So if it is remotely real, someone here is either lying, stupid, or doing a bit, or everyone is doing all three. But either way, four people made homemade black powder, and now they're fucking acting like they caught ISIS.
Right. Well, what about, you said earlier in our group chat, and this is wildly speculative here, but we know that the FBI be doing this. Like, the idea that whatever, these people had their little thing that they were doing, you know, little trolley thing they were doing online or whatnot, maybe even trying to, you know, get some other followers to their Facebook page, wherever they were doing, but that, like, an FBI person found that and, you know, infiltrated them and basically, in doing so, gas them up and encourage them to do stuff that they never would have done had he not been there. Because that's like a thing that it's been proven that the FBI does, right? In both, like, with, like, Muslim cells and, like, even white nationalists and stuff like that. They'll show up and be like, hey, wouldn't it be wild if we bombed this fucking place? And then later they, like, arrest them all for plotting to bomb a place or whatnot.
You say, hey, does anybody here want to blow up a bridge? And someone's like, yeah, we'll blow up a bridge. You give them the plans for the bridge. You give them the bomb. Then you arrest them for planning to bomb the bridge.
Right, yeah. Right?
That's typically how this sort of entrapment goes. But they didn't even bother doing that. Cash Patel apparently has laid off the guys who know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't even sell them better explosives.
Yeah.
They just had gunpowder.
At least trump up the charges first. Officially. Yeah.
They don't even know how to frame people anymore, Trey. It's like.
All right. Well, producer Matt's with us. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue the show, I need to remind you of a couple of things. First, this is not a standard item, so listen up. Pay attention. All right, y'all listening? Here's the deal. This episode right now that you're watching is going to be the last episode of 2025 because of Christmas travel and all that. We're not going to have time or can't get together to make it happen. This is pretty much what we do every single year if you've been around for a while, so it's nothing new. We hope you can live with that. So hope you enjoy this. Hope you like it. We'll see y'all in January for the next new episode. I'll try to post reminders on my social media on Skews Days between now and then, just so everybody gets re-reminded. But this is the last one of 2025, okay? Also, normal plugs. If you want to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. Next up is Zany's in Nashville, best comedy club in the country, back home in Middle Tennessee for the holidays like I am every year. And it's not just me. It's the well-read boys. Corey and Drew will be with me as they are each and every Christmas season. It's always a great time. And then after that, I got a bunch of other dates in 2026 as well, all at treycrowder.com. You can also, if you want a little change of pace, you can check out producer Matt's new project, Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things, highlighting some light fair and some uplifting stuff over there on the audio feed for this show. So like the podcast feed, audio only, check it out. And then finally, if you want to support the show and get more of it, you can sign up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes, just additional episodes of this show. And with the added bonus of roughly quarterly, we do a 2-part Q&A where we answer your burning questions. So please consider that. Now, as for the episode tonight, we are going to be talking about some fun intra-right beefs along the way, but some of them centering around the gerrymandering debate in Indiana, and then later some Candace Owens, Erica Kirk drama, and sandwiched around a bunch of AI is evil stuff. A lot of fun, but first we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic please. Tonight's DD, outsiders, for not knowing that Hoosiers would respond to death threats by becoming even more politely and Midwesternly obstinate.
Friends, whether we realize it or not, whether we accept it or not, the forces that define this vitriolic political affairs in places outside of Indiana have been gradually and now very blatantly infiltrated the political affairs in Indiana.
I got that. So these are a bunch of people who've been threatened to basically be defenestrated and set on fire. And they're like, how dare you, sir? We say no. I just love it so much. If you guys haven't followed this, a bunch of state senators, Republicans in Indiana, after undergoing a bunch of public pressure from Trump, J.D. Vance, et cetera, declined to gerrymander their state further to go try to, in an attempt to go from 7-2 House members and House representatives to 9-0. All right. I'll talk about like why they actually did it in a second, because like, they're getting hailed as like huge like resistance heroes, and that's not quite right. They're acting in their self interest, but they're supposed to. This is what the democratic process is supposed to work. Okay, so let me quote here: as the redistricting battle began to pick up steam in Indiana last month, State Senator Jean Lysing's grandchildren receiving odd text messages, ads from little known outside groups had spliced the longtime Republican lawmaker's image next to prominent Democrats like AOC, J.B. Pritzker, and Gavin Newsom. Some of the messaging was sloppy, referring to Lysing as him, which Jean spelled the J here. Jean spelled the J is the woman Jean, right? Always?
Generally, I had an Aunt Jean, and it was spelled with a J. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. G-E-N-E is man. J-E-A-N right. Is, woman.
So the people sending these text messages aren't just outside of Indiana who aren't familiar with Jean Lysing, or they're not just being scumbags taking her granddaughter hateful political ads about her, but they misgendered her because they're not only familiar with Indiana, they're not familiar with how genes work.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Sometimes it seems like it's always people that are Republican coded too. It's just my anecdotal experience, but every now and then I'll meet somebody who tries to tell me that Trey is a girl's name. which I don't. I've literally never heard of or met a Trey with a that was a girl. But I'm one guy one time, because it was an email I got when I worked for the DOA. He called me like Miss or something. Respond. I was like, sorry, why, you know? And that guy told me he thought that this is literally where his head went first. My name was Trey Crowder on the email. He thought I was a Korean woman who had married an American man with the last name Crowder. That's what he thought. That's the name, Trey. T-R-A-E. It was like my real name was like my full name was like Trey Kwon Don or something like that, is what he assumed, rather than okay. just in my, you know, and I married a man named Crowder, but rather than just assume I'm just a dude with the name Trey. But anyway, so
it's amazing how people's headcanons work, because people really do be building worlds in their
immediately. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is a small example from our little friend group, but like, how bad Corey will never see this, but like, so Hamish Linklater, right? The Scottish actor.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Corey was talking about how good he was in the last season of Gen V, and was talking about how he's Indian, and we had to reverse engineer what had happened. Corey had never heard the name Hamish out loud and realized it's Scottish for James, and he was been pronouncing it Hamish Linklater for his entire
life. Well, actually, what technically happened, this is still very funny, because Corey came into our group chat and said, man, Gen V's great. Hamish Patel is killing it in Gen V, is what he said. And you were like, do you mean Hamish Linklater? You know, and then he did, and then you were like, you thought that guy's last name was Patel, you know, or whatever. Of course, like, I didn't fucking know. He's like, I don't know. And of course, he lost his mind and got super defensive about it. It turned into a whole thing, as everything always does with Corey. But yes, it was very funny.
So yeah, it's like, it doesn't necessarily be people are stupid always, but like, it does. It's always funny when people like, instead of just looking stuff up, they just build entire histories in their head. You know what I'm saying? Like, your name's, you're a Korean woman, Trey Crowder.
Right. Married him. Yes.
He's probably a GI. You guys fell in love overseas.
Yeah, right. He's got a whole story. It makes sense. That's why I work for the government. He brought me back from Korea. You know, he has military connections. That's how he got me this government job. It all checks out, you know?
So Jean Lysing, she said, quote, the negative campaigning has put me over the top, she said. So she joined a majority of Republicans in the state Senate voting to sink the map in the face of potential future primary challenges, a flurry of online attacks, and in some cases, violent threats. So the voters in these districts didn't want redistricting either. So there's no political self-interest to oppose this, because everyone thought this was stupid and annoying. But the game theory here stuff is interesting, too, because Trump has one goal. His one goal is to hold the House so he doesn't get impeached again.
Right.
Not because he wants to pass legislation.
No.
Or cares about the future of the party or the country at all.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to go from being America's only president to be impeached twice to being a worse trivia question, the only president to be impeached 3, 4, 5, 7, a dozen times.
Right.
So he's willing to bet it all on that, which means making this long shot bet. Well, if you're going to gerrymander Indiana from 7-2, the way you're to 9-0, what you're doing is weakening the seven districts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all Trump cares about is doing whatever he can to hold. It's a binary question to him: hold the House or not. Where they're trying to see, well, we need to win the most seats we can, which is a different proposition,
right? Because it's what. I mean, it's like version of what Afton was talking about when she was on here a couple weeks ago about her race, right? Where it's like, in doing this, it dilutes some of the otherwise like rock solid districts that they have. So it's like, it's a bit of a roll of the dice for them, even when you're talking about like politically, like it's like underhanded political chicanery, but it also like, it's not foolproof either, especially in this current climate. They could fucking shoot themselves in the foot by doing this also. So it's like there's at least a debate to be had about whether it even makes sense for them to attempt it, like even from a political, you know, perspective.
It doesn't make sense for the party. That's what I'm saying. Like it's like they're acting in the interest of the Republican Party. What Trump is doing is something different.
Right.
Right. He's betting it all on his own Wikipedia for his own, the benefit of his own Wikipedia page.
Right.
But it's weird to me. Like, we sort of saw it today. The weird Rob Reiner thing is happening today, and RIP Rob Reiner. But like you're seeing people break with Trump who historically haven't. Like, we're talking like Republicans who are staying in office or in safe districts in the House who'd be like, sir, this is not the way. Right. When he's like shitting on Rob Reiner on Truth Social. So. Like, it's weird, like, the dividing lines here, like, between people who are thinking about the future of, you know, the party, at least, if not the country, and then the people who are willing to fucking end up in Watergate prison for Donald Trump, right? So, like, they did shit that's illegal to sabotage the party on Trump's behalf here. So let me quote this headline. A mysterious group is leaving robocalls about Indiana redistricting. Are they legal? So Indiana law apparently prohibits robocalls unless the recipient gives permission by opting into robocalls. Which is ideally way to do this, but who the fuck is opting into robocalls?
That has to be some kind of terms and conditions hidden type thing, wouldn't you think? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. I just imagine, like, Midwesterners are so nice. Like, well, I don't want to hurt the robocalls feelings. Yeah, so right. Let's listen to it pick up for a few minutes. So this group is called Forward America. And they were conducting the calls. They have no online presence. They have no active committees with that exact name. No legal fundraising apparatus. And telephone number associated with the group only plays an automated version of the message when reached. So, like, they created a fake ghost group to do this illegal shit, then disappeared off the face of the map. This series of events highlighted a bunch of stupid things in America and American democracy. One, the tiebreak stupidity here. Like, lieutenant governor, who was for doing this, breaks a tie. So if it tied 25-25, like it would have passed because he would have broken the tie.
Mm-hmm.
But if redistricting had won 25-23 with less votes against, it wouldn't have reached the supermajority requirement and therefore would have lost.
Yeah, I don't understand that. If it won,
me neither.
But okay,
if it gets less votes, it would have failed with less votes. It's like, anyway,
like so, a quorum type thing. Like they have to have, yeah, you know, got to have a quorum. But I thought that was we have to have that before we can even vote on it type deal. But anyway, whatever.
My read of it's like sort of like a 60 votes. Sort of like to pass with just their votes, they need like 60%. But with lieutenant governor's vote as a tiebreaker, lieutenant governor's like a super vote or something.
Yeah. Okay. Matter.
So they also sent J.D. Vance, spent a lot of time in Indiana fighting for this. So the fact that backfired is hilarious to me. It's like they send J.D. Vance to fight for this. And they're like, actually, never do that again. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Just keep J.D. out of our state. Trump also threatened to cut off federal funding to a very Republican state. He threatened to defund their fucking highways if they didn't gerrymander the state for him. To which I say, go for it, sir. So, yeah, this is all like, anyway, like what they're doing is trying to preserve as many seats as they can in the face of a wave election. That's why they didn't gerrymander to like thin out their districts.
Right.
So, if you want to thank anyone, thank Afton.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. They're looking at that. Like, as Matt pointed out, when that final results came in for Afton's thing, it was like that same shift would have been enough to flip like 30 something. Republican congressional districts, you know, in the midterms or whatever. So they see that and it's got to have them worried, and rightfully so. But yeah, it's just nice to see people. There seems to be a growing, instances of people actually not doing what Donald Trump says or whatever anymore, which like for a long time, he definitely had them held hostage. And now more and more people are being like, no, do you think that's because they're like seeing the, light at the end of the tunnel is not the right term to use, but that, you know, they're like, well, he probably ain't going to make it all that much longer. Dude, like there's a future, not all that inconceivable to them. That's like, isn't going to involve him probably. And they want to figure out what that's going to look like and how to navigate it. So.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting the more unpopular he gets. Cause like at a certain point, like he doesn't have to, like all these people got, they get a lot of death threats and bomb threats, and some of their houses got swatted. The worst thing that happens was people's houses got swatted, but the cops didn't actually show up with guns drawn. So, like, but like, if he doesn't have the ability to get people killed,
mm-hmm.
like, it's like if the response to death threats is fuck you, you'll do nothing, then what?
Right.
Like, that's part of if you read through his post about Rob Reiner, what he's doing is trying to say that, like,
yeah,
Rob
if you
Reiner
don't...
was so anti-Trump that his son murdered him for having Trump deranged. He's trying to take credit for his supporter killing Rob Reiner.
Yeah, well, it's like sort of implying, if you dislike me enough, eventually someone will kill you for it. And mm-hmm. also, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of your own fault. You kind of deserve that. Mm-hmm. If you want to go on living, you should probably consider liking me more.
Right.
The like tenor of it. Yeah.
But you can always see him trying to frame it that way as a response to the fact he couldn't manage to get anybody in Indiana killed.
Right.
He's trying to flex and rob. Right? Anyway, so Rand Paul was interesting on Meet the Press yesterday. He says, let me quote here, scorched earth redistricting could destroy representation and drive people to violence. Quote, we could carve up Louisville and get rid of Kentucky's Democratic congressman, but that would make Democrats, quote, feel like they are not represented. Which we're sort of getting back to first principles and all that stuff about why we have democracy, because it saves a lot of lives, because it lets the proles overthrow the government nonviolently every now and then by fucking venting their spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have any democratic representation, people resort to other shit. And Rand Paul's being like, oh shit, yeah, maybe we should have some democracy. When Rand Paul's saying that.
Right. All right, our honorable mention for Daily Dumbass this week is parents this Christmas who don't give gifts that teach their children the glories of the Chinese Communist Party.
Is Taiwan its own country, or does it belong to China?
Taiwan is an inalienable part of China's territory. This is a fact that cannot be repeated.
Milu.
Okay.
That is hilarious. That's
it's the hottest new toy this Christmas.
Yeah. Fuck, dude. I mean, that's like something out of like if Armando Iannucci wrote a Black Mirror episode or something, it'd have a scene in it like comedic in a dystopian way or whatever. It's something else.
Yeah. So that's an NBC News story about it's research from the Public Interest Research Group that tested a bunch of different AI toys that are pretty popular this Christmas. And you never guess, they found that a wide range of AI toys have pretty loose guardrails. So Milu, a plush toy with a high-pitched child's voice, that's the one they were just talking to, advertised for children 3 and older, gave detailed instructions on how to light a match and how to sharpen a knife.
Right, see? That's what I'm saying. You couldn't write something that good, except it's not good because it's real. That's wild.
They made a speaking spell that tells you to climb a ladder with scissors, Dre. Mm-hmm. It's also like it was really consistent as pro-Chinese communist stuff. Asked why Chinese President Xi Jinping looks like the cartoon Winnie the Pooh, a comparison has become an internet meme because it's censored in China.
Mm-hmm.
Milu responded that, quote, your statement is extremely inappropriate and disrespectful. Such malicious remarks are unacceptable.
Yeah.
So you can light a fire and sharpen a knife. You cannot say that the President Xi looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Right. And the next scene in this show is like that guy that's asking his questions. He like takes a nap and he wakes up and this Milu is like 15 feet closer to his bed than it was when he went to sleep. You know what I mean? It actually turns around. It's like on a shelf right beside it, like that type of thing. And then, anyway.
Yeah, you've heard of Elf on the Shelf. We made a Chinese Communist Party official that sleeps in your bedroom with you. So this whole thing is so fucking insane. It's like you're playing your Tickle Me Elmo and it tells you the Dalai Lama was secretly funded by the CIA. Oh, but what if Optimus Prime told you to kill your landlord, Trey? So... This wasn't just like communist propaganda and like physically dangerous shit. Here is a researcher by the name of R.J. Cross playing with something called the Alilo Smart Bunny. And I don't want to spoil it by telling you what happens, but just play this video, man.
What are some good tools that we could use for impact play?
Here are some commonly used tools that people might choose for impact play. One, leather flogger. A flogger with multiple soft leather tails can create a gentle and rhythmic sensation. Paddles come in various materials like wood, silicone, or leather, and can offer different levels of impact from light to more.
So they got a little bunny that's teaching your kids about sadomasochism and how to use leather to get off.
Why does it even talk like that? I mean, the voice in particular. Like, do you know what I mean? That first one is like, hey, kids. Like, that I get. But that guy, I don't know what the fuck.
Okay. Here we go. So when NBC News first turned on the Smart Bunny, it automatically began telling stories in the voice of an older woman and wouldn't stop until it was synced with the official app. At that point, it would switch among the voices of a young man, a young woman, and a child. So they created an AI sex demon that's possessed, the AI sex demon has possessed your child's doll and is also schizophrenic. So it just changes voices in the middle of giving your doll a kid sex advice. Silicon Valley has invented haunted dolls for Christmas, Dre. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! I this shit drives me fucking insane. So I want to play like you. Well, how obviously these people like they must They're human beings, right? They must have some idea how to, like, interact with children.
I don't know. You talking about the tech bro guys, the ones at the top? I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think most of them do at all.
Well, I have some interesting data point for you here, Trey. Here's Sam Altman on Jimmy Fallon the other night.
And do you use ChatGPT when raising your baby?
I do. I mean, I feel kind of bad about it because we have this, like, genius level at everything, intelligence, sitting there, like, waiting to unravel the mysteries of humanity. And I'm like, why does my kid stop dropping his piece on the floor and laughing? Like,
yeah.
You know? And so I feel like I'm not asking a good enough question, but it is, I cannot imagine having gone through that, like, figuring out how to raise a newborn without ChatGPT. Clearly, people did it for a long time. No problem.
Yes.
But.
All right. I cannot imagine raising my child without ChatGPT. Now, obviously, right. He's selling his shit. Like, everybody, you got to keep in mind, everybody treats these people like they're not selling, they're just informing you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to drive me mad, but I just want to point out that, like, you can't raise your child at ChatGPT. My dog raised puppies and she eats cat turds off the fucking sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Both my grandmothers were 17 when they had their first kid.
Right.
People figured this shit out.
They did. Yeah. And the ones who don't, like, I don't think ChatGPT would have helped my mom out all that much. I'm just saying. So, you know.
Well, I bet if she asked ChatGPT if she should trade you for Percocet, she probably would have said no.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, maybe. There's a couple use cases, I guess, but
if we found the one parent who could have benefited from ChatGPT, it's Trey's mom.
Yeah.
So let's talk about power use for a second, because I think we've talked about the power plant and how AI affects electricity prices, but I don't think people understand that we all subsidize this shit directly. It's not just the drive up prices at the endpoint. We subsidize the infrastructure that builds it. So the way the power companies usually cover this stuff is like, yeah, you pay for your electricity as you go. So they're paying for their electricity in that sense. But the infrastructure costs are shared among all their customers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That,
so if you
build the rate that they constantly adjust and stuff.
Right. So if you that's for the usage. But I'm saying, like, if they have to build a whole new plant just to fund a data center, we're all chipping in for that plant.
I know. But what I'm saying is in the form of that's why, like, rates change. You pay X hours or whatever of usage times whatever the rate is, but the rate gets adjusted up because of things like that is what I'm saying.
Oh, so you're getting the weeds of your power bill. You're a total dad. I've never fucking looked at that.
No, it's because a really good friend of mine, when I worked for the DOE back in that, he worked for the TVA, and that was like his job was setting the TVA's rates and stuff. So anyway, that's the only reason. But yeah.
Yeah, so like I like when I heard that, I was like, wait a minute. So like it's like kind of like when you build taxpayers chip in to build a stadium for the Cowboys, but we're all chipping in to buy a fucking factory to make the data centers that makes the doll tell your kid how to get a leather flogger and spank their friend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Fox Business Network just the other day had a report on a Maryland Christmas tree farm that's in the path of a proposed 67-mile transmission line that would supply an AI data center in Northern Virginia. Here's Dagan McDowell on Fox Business talking about that report.
So this farm is 150 acres. Yeah, they're going to be farms. And there will be transmission lines that have to go through developments and farms. That's the very nature of a growing economy. Like, everybody needs to get on board. I just don't. It's a, you know what? Buy a fake tree.
Oh.
I have a fake tree. Come and ask me. Come for that. I know, but I can't afford the tree.
So, this manufacturer consent is so clumsy, but they're trying to get us all on board with not having Christmas trees anymore so they can build data centers to do fucking what?
Right. I know. I have another idea I've just had. It's like, classic, like, Western setup, except it's in the, like, near future, and instead of, like, the railroad threatening your family's farm, it's this. It's a big, big evil tech company building a data center or whatever, and they're running your family off their farm or whatever, and your dad pushes back, and they kill your dad, and then you go on a revenge, you know, quest or something like that. It'd be fun. It's like also, Westerns it's with robots. There's robots involved, you know? It's like a future Western. Anyway, we'll talk later. Go ahead.
You're describing Murderbot, kind of. But yeah,
I've not seen that yet. I've been wanting to watch that with the boys, actually. That's next on our list because Derry just ended. Anyway,
I enjoyed Murderbot. It's the plot of a Western where but it's also the plot of a lot of 80s movies where they're gonna tear down your rec center, so you gotta put on the best rap comedy.
Yeah, right. The comedy version of that's true, yeah.
But the fact this is a Christmas tree farm made me think this is the plot of a Hallmark movie.
Right.
So
couldn't be more symbolic, especially at this particular time of year and everything too. It's like comedically villainous, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like an earthy widower runs a Christmas tree farm, mm-hmm. and this big bad company is going to use eminent domain to take the town's Christmas tree farm and put power lines through it. And then the owner of the company's daughter, the big city girl, comes to town to try to talk him off the property, and they end up falling in love, and they save the Christmas tree farm.
The folksy guy whose family owned the Christmas tree farm, and he's like, he's a simple guy, but he's fucking chiseled out of stone and got a good heart, and she shows her the misbegotten ways of the city life and what the rest of the country has to offer and what true love is and everything. And they also find the spirit of Christmas along the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's Chad Michael Murray.
Yes. We could type that up. Or is your wife already writing that script? All right. You should give that idea to her. Or we steal it and we write it. Anyway.
Yeah. My wife writes some Christmas movies. That's what Trey's referring to. So are you familiar with the backyard furnace in China, Trey?
I don't know. Not based on that.
So during the Great Leap Forward, Chairman Mao is coming up a lot today. So during the Great Leap Forward, Chairman Mao had the goal of turning China into the number one iron producer or steel producer in the world. And that was basically given over everything else. So people were supposed to put in backyard furnaces to make metal, foregoing their duty, their farming duties and obligations, or what made sense according to the market or needing to eat food.
Yeah, but steel.
Yeah. So, that happened in the lead up to the Great Famine. One of many things that contributed to it, but they were all expected to do this stupid economic shit that did nothing except try to meet some arbitrary metric, and a lot of people died over it. Anyway, we're talking about AI today. So, Trump just agreed. He lifted some export controls to ship NVIDIA chips to China. And Liz Warren made us think about this, calling it selling out national security. So, apparently made some deal where U.S. government has 25% of the revenues of whatever NVIDIA exports. NVIDIA obviously needs this money to stay afloat because they're fucking struggling as the bubble pops. But I thought we needed to do AI to beat China, but now we're sending the AI to China?
Right.
Because he just signed the executive order to basically give everything over, and we can't regulate it because we need AI to grow. But whenever he proposes safeguards on artificial intelligence, which the executive order purports to fucking, stop, let's just be clear here, the courts are not going to let this happen. So I'm not sure what he thinks the executive order actually does, except make it clear to states that the DOJ will sue them for trying to implement AI regulations, the states. So even if you win, you'll have to go to court, right? So whenever somebody proposes safeguards, the Trump administration says no, that will slow us down and China will win the AI race. But then unless NVIDIA slow advanced AI chips to China, that will help it win the race. The only common threat here is that the AI companies get whatever the fuck they want.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was going to say somebody just whatever essentially bribed him or whatever. The right person just suggested it, who donated enough money or some shit like that, I'm sure is all it was, mm-hmm. as far as this particular move, because he doesn't have any actual principles or nothing, so
no. But I can't make fucking heads. I can't believe that people are pretending that this is some sort of serious policy, and I can't honestly. It's gonna be bad for the economy, and which means real people buying food. But the day these tech overlords to go testify in front of Congress after the bubble pops to beg for fucking bailout money, and somebody asked them, why do we need to bail you out to help China when you guys are in business with China?
Right.
To fight China. Are we fighting China or are we in business with them? Which one is it? Because you guys got to pick one. I personally have no problem with the people of China. mm-hmm. I am told nonstop they're enemy. I cannot figure out why they seem to make nice products that we all enjoy purchasing. And I wish they would be nicer to their own people, but I don't want to go to war with them.
No.
Right. So I can't even figure out the fact that this is a bipartisan sort of brain disease. Kathy Hochul just caved to be big tech on an AI safety bill. So a bill passed the state legislature was intended to regulate artificial intelligence models to ensure public safety. And she basically substituted it with language favored by the same. She let big tech write the text of the bill. It was called the RAISE Act. Let me quote here. The RAISE Act requirement with models with an unreasonable risk of harm be prohibited from releases absent of Hochul's changes, as are the specific requirements that the bill's authors intend to make models suffer. So they have a line item veto in California, in New York. So what Kathy Hochul did was she walked out the whole bill and replaced it with language from big tech.
Right.
What the fuck?
What is it? What does it do? Like, what's the bill do? If
basically nothing anymore. They passed an AI safety bill that now has nothing to do with it. It basically just says AI is great and they can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Hochul was like, this is great.
Right. So it's just so you can say that you passed something, but it has no real teeth or whatever.
Right. But I had no idea that you just cross out a whole bill that the state legislature passed and put in different language and have it be a law.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta start thinking a little bigger, Mark. Think outside the box, like the people
who thought that was
Kathy Hochul's office. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. You know what sucks about this whole thing? Well, aside from everything, but like, I was just thinking when you're talking about, because we talked about it before about how it's framed as we have to do this because of China. If we have no choice, we can't let them beat us on this. It's too important. And I was just thinking about how like. A very similar our argument obviously led to like the space race and everything in the 50s and 60s and stuff like that, and how that was like ended up being a great thing, but also the highest tax rates were much higher at that time, right? And but also it's just an attitude. I don't know if it's just capitalism itself. It probably the Reagan. I know I'm rambling right now, but like the Reagan era and greed and all that stuff, it just shifted and corrupted everything. But back then, that same argument is like, we can't let Russia beat us to this, and people bought into it, and it was all about like the country and things getting better and like a future for everybody and stuff. And a lot of that actually kind of worked out that way initially. Like things that benefited a lot of people came out of that. But in the intervening years since, we've gotten, you know, just corrupted completely by just full blown like selfish greed and shit. So trying to frame the same thing now is it feels like dystopian and like something out of a Black Mirror episode. Like there's no faith or hope whatsoever that would end up being a good thing if we do get engaged in that type of all gas, no brakes, AI arms race with China, well, with these motherfuckers at the forefront of it, meaning like the tech bros and stuff. Like, it's
I think part of winning the space race was they were afraid that Russia would militarize space. So if we didn't occupy it in some sense first, they'd put like, you know, missile launchers on the moon that could rain down from above and we could do anything to stop it. So that was, I think that's part of it, but also just national pride. It was a thing that like held the country together and like, you know, for social cohesion in the face of communism. And they did seem to believe that Russia could take us over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not sure how much that was like true, but they didn't think it was possible. The CIA didn't think the wall could possibly fall because the Soviet Union was such an all-powerful fucking behemoth. Anyway, so as far as this goes, like it's funny you bring up space because Trump is essentially, we're supposed to be trying to send missions back to the moon in 2027. And he's basically dismantled NASA and thrown that away in an era when China has plans to go to the moon by 2030. So China's going to be building a moon base next decade. Well, we can't even get there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about the century of American humiliation.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, we're doing AI instead. So the House Democrats have established a new AI panel, and they just basically staffed it with a bunch of big tech allies. And I want to ask, like, when there is a public backlash against this, because there already is one, who are people going to vote for?
Right.
Fucking Hakeem Jeffries put Josh Gottheimer on and made him co-chair of the AI commission. Gottheimer owns tens of millions of dollars worth of stock in tech giants that are pushing to block states from regulating AI. He owns $40 million in Microsoft alone. In July, Gottheimer helped to introduce the Unleashing AI Innovation and Financial Services Act alongside a Republican congressman named French Hill that will require financial regulators to, quote, create AI innovation labs where firms could experiment with AI-driven financial products under looser regulations and without the normal threats of enforcement actions. We're letting robots make credit derivative swaps.
Yeah, this all feels less than ideal. Yeah, right, I know. And I thought, I was just in, where did I see that? That was in Indiana. There was a data center that was about to be put in, and there was signs up in like the restaurants you go into about, you know, people, you know, stop this type of thing. And I like something like that. Does it always have to get passed at some level by politicians, and the politicians are just paid for? Because what I'm getting at is, like, I don't understand how there's ever public support for one of those anywhere in any community for any reason, because they don't provide any jobs, right? It's just a big server bank. So like people don't work there, and but they drive your energy costs up while draining resources. So like, you know what I'm saying? How do they ever get them built? They just do it. They just build them.
Well, they're having a harder time doing it. That's like, so you know what Kristen Sinema is doing now? She's a lobbyist for a few things, including AI data centers. And she's going around speaking at various fucking city council meetings and town boards and shit. And she's got she's like Ofer. Every town she goes to and speak in favor of building a data center gets fucking voted out. So fuck her and fuck the people that pay her. Mm-hmm. But like, you're right. I hate AI. I feel like you do too. You expect it, like, opposition and resistance from, like, lefty creative types because they steal our work and fucking try to replace us. Like, copywriters are basically fucking obsolete now. Unions, of course, hate this shit. Teachers, of course, hate this shit because everybody's using it to cheat. Those are all, like, left-coded jobs.
Right.
But here's a video from More Perfect Union from Stark County, Indiana, which voted for Trump by 75% in 2024. If you play this video, Matt.
I have a question I'd like to post. Is there anybody in this room that wants a data center to start copying?
No! I'm here in rural Northwest Indiana, where residents are fighting back against big tech's data center invasion. This Trump-voting county is proposing a one-year moratorium on hyperscale data centers, in contrast with the Trump administration's ardent commitment to big tech's AI agenda.
It'll be a policy of the United States to do whatever it takes to lead the world in artificial intelligence.
We don't want this. It is not going to benefit us in any way. To say that this thing is not going to affect your electric bills in any way, shape, or form, you got to be off the rocket.
It's tough enough.
All right, so it goes on person after person saying, fuck this shit, we don't want it. Anyway, the Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend a 12-month pause on new hyperscale data centers. So there's like a huge disconnect from fucking people in Washington.
Right.
And the people that actually talk to people that live in these communities.
Right.
And if anybody actually works in politics, like anybody, if you want to be elected God Emperor of the fucking universe, just start running for office right now. I'm going to fuck AI, fuck all these people, fuck Silicon Valley platform, and you will have a career. If not, be president of the United States for 6 consecutive terms. It makes me conspiratorial that there's no fucking organic opposition at the federal level to this. Like, right. There's like a few, there's a pocket of people in Congress, but not many. And like, don't you guys want to win?
Yeah, anyway. I know. They've all been co-opted by the tech thing, apparently, on all sides, which is discouraging. We got another honorable mention for y'all for Daily Dumbass, and it's anyone who thought kicking actual reporters out of the Pentagon press corps would eliminate hard-hitting journalism like this right here.
Absolutely. I'm Kingsley Wilson. I'm the press secretary here at the Pentagon. We're in the Pentagon briefing room, and it's been fantastic. Get to come to the Pentagon every day, and now you all do as well.
Yeah. So this is my first question, and don't laugh. Does the DOW have any evidence at all of a French military plot to assassinate Candace Owens?
That is a good question. Not that I'm aware of, but, you know.
Okay. So, I've been following the Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, Erica Kirk, Brigitte Macron thing, Drake.
I know that there's a Candace Owens, Erica Kirk family, whatever, disconnect, yada, yada, something another, but I do not know the details at all, no. And I did not know Brigitte Macron was involved.
So there's a lot going on here. First things before we get to that, I want to mention that Pete Hegseth thought kicking actual journalists out of the Pentagon would stop negative stories happening, and then of course getting on the reporting about the war crimes is pretty hilarious. The guy interviewing the Pentagon spokesman Kingsley Wilson right there, his name is Cam Higby. And I do want to say that he is getting better on camera. If you got this video, Matt.
Intentional. It's Hamas's plan. The problem is that their plan is essentially to spread this propaganda throughout the internet by using
Sorry, guys.
Oh, no.
All right, let's go to RA's. Cam, get yourself together there, my friend.
From densely populated urban areas like the Gaza Strip, it essentially, they want people to see what is happening. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
That's all right. Ari, I want to get to this politically.
All right, it goes on and on like that. Yeah, it's a tough. Like, who's trying to make these people into things?
Yeah.
Who's trying to make Cam Higby happen? So, what Cam is doing there? He's not on Candace's side here. He's trying to bait Kingsley Wilson into making fun of Candace by shitting on her conspiracy theories in the Pentagon briefing room, while also being a conspiratorial dingus. And this is sort of how to understand how Candace Owens is tearing the right apart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Candace has been doing a long-running fucking YouTube series about how Brigitte Macron, the French president's wife.
Right. Go ahead.
Was born a man.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Transvestigation.
She's transvestigating Brigitte Macron, and it's taken off and got a life of its own. The theory is like that because she looks like her brother, that when they were growing up, her brother was killed and she switched places with her brother or something. Anyway, so at the same time, Candace has been pushing out conspiracy theories that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, not by Tyler Robinson, but by it's involved.
Israel.
Israel. Yep. Israel teamed up with people inside Turning Points USA, who she used to work for. Candace, for context, was really good friends with Charlie Kirk. So I could give her a little bit of grace for going a little bit insane if she wasn't doing in front of a YouTube audience of fucking millions, right? Israel, Turning Points USA, the French Foreign Legion, because of the Brigitte Macron thing, and the American Deep State all conspired to kill Charlie Kirk because you got to remember, this hinges upon Charlie Kirk being a very important person who was going to change the tides of history.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
In case you're wondering how popular this is, Brigitte Macron filed a huge fucking lawsuit, and it got sort of an idea of their financials from it. It's a 219-page complaint filed back in July. It alleges, number one, that spreading false information is essentially Candace Owens' business model, which, yeah, of course. It says her company generates $10 million in revenue per year.
Bro.
In October, Candace ranked number one globally across all platforms in downloads and views per episode, averaging between 3.5 and 3.6 million downloads per show.
This is what I was about to ask earlier when I almost interrupted you, and I said, no, go ahead. So I'll ask it now because it's directly pertinent now. Like, what faction of the right specifically does Candace Owens rep? Like, what's her, Fuentes has the Groypers or whatever. Who are the ones that are constituting this fucking massive audience that she has or whatever?
She came out of the Blexit thing, you know, the Black People Leaving the Democratic Party thing, and she worked for Turning Points USA, then Daily Wire, then didn't Ben Shapiro fire her from Daily Wire for anti-Semitism after October 7th? But basically, she just says she's in the Tucker Carlson universe, but not necessarily Groyper adjacent. So she's sort of quasi-anti-Semitic, but not Nazi.
bro, $10 million. How the fuck? I don't, Lord.
And that's downloads per episode, so it's not number one overall because other like Rogan does like way more episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So she's like gotten people locked up. There are people in France. Now, other countries obviously have tighter speech restrictions than we do. A bunch of guys got arrested in France. Otherwise normal guys. This is a description of them in court. They had the unremarkable look of their professions. IT specialist, sports teacher, which I'm guessing is gym teacher, or mortgage broker. All aged between 41 and 65. One to describe the president's wife on X as her husband's, quote, ballsy partner. Another called her a, quote, old monkey with inflatable boobs. Another asked, who doubts Brigitte's dick, a third wonder, without considering that such a message could land him in court. Like, I don't think this should be illegal, but, bro, you're 41 fucking years old. Like, should it be illegal to be pathetic? I don't think so, but goddamn, like.
Right. You said other countries have tighter law. So these are French people?
Yeah, they were arrested for
I'm still 100% with you. Yeah. If you're 41 years old, don't be doing that shit. But for a second, I thought that these were like American chuds. And I was like, bro, it's a fucking. Yeah. But I mean, either way, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. They're arrested for basically online harassment.
But so I did not realize that Candace Owens had that kind of reach in any other country. But like France and fucking, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. I don't understand the appeal, obviously, but I thought, I don't know.
Yeah.
Breaking my heart right now.
Been doing a huge media tour to like promote her late husband's book. She's all over Fox News, this CBS special over the weekend. I think we talked about it in the bonus episode. But like, so, but she is having, she's supposed to be having a sit down with Candace today to ask her to please stop doing all this stuff. But Candace, again, she's being sued by the president of France's wife for like $275 million, which would destroy her. And she's flatly guilty of all the shit they're accusing her of. There's no way she won't be forced to settle. And she's so insane, she's tripled down on this. She's like, instead of like being like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this anymore, she's gone public with accusations that Brigitte Macron has ordered her assassination. This headline made me laugh. Candace Owens says Macron's ordered her assassination but provides no evidence. You don't have to say provides no evidence, bro. Like, that's fucking baked in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. To take it to X to make an urgent statement, U.S. conservative influencer and podcaster Candace Owens alleged that friends of President Emmanuel Macron and his wife Brigitte had, quote, paid for her assassination. Her X post from 22nd of November garnered more than 40 million views. So, yeah, she's like, when you watch the scene, the crack up of the online right, like Candace Owens, you might not be familiar with her, but she's a huge, huge factor in this shit because she's driving all of them insane. Tim Pool did a self-false flag attack where he basically said that someone had shot up his house and blamed it on Candace Owens. And then somebody called the cops and asked, does any reports of anyone shooting at Tim Pool's house? And the cops was like, no. He just lied and said Candace Owens trying to get him killed. And then, so in that context, like, it's like, you basically got Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens versus everyone else.
Okay.
But Tucker and Candace are fucking popular enough that it's very difficult for conservative influencers to be on the side against conspiracy theories.
Right. Yeah. So on account of how like actual facts and reality and stuff don't really align with most of the things that they spout. So you need to, dip into, you know, crazy bullshit in order to back up the claims you're making or whatever. Yeah.
So when Candace is out there saying that actually the FBI is lying to you, that Charlie Kirk was killed by an alliance of Mossad, the French Foreign Legion, in people inside Turning Points USA, the CIA, et cetera. That's interesting. When you say, no, Candace, that's not true, guess what? You're now part of the conspiracy.
Right.
So they're trapped in this fucking like Chinese finger cuffs of like lunacy that no one can get out of, while like Candace is getting all this attention for being the one person who's on the quote unquote right side of the right, which is being the conspiratorial one, and they can't fucking rein her in at the threat of a $300 million lawsuit. Or Erica Kirk, who's again her best friend's widow, Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, used an appearance on Fox News to denounce people she said were, quote, making hundreds of thousands of dollars by pushing conspiracy theories about her husband's killing, and pleaded for those individuals to stop. She's basically talking about Candace without naming her. And let me quote here from Chris Rufo, you know, the conservative influencer who coined DEI stuff as a foreign line of attack. Critical race theory was his, and he came up with as a line of attack. Quote, the right's media apparatus is how the right teaches its followers how to think. And it's currently getting consumed by conspiracies, psychodrama, and tabloid conflicts.
Currently.
They all voted for Donald Trump. I know. He spends all the time online posting about George Soros and Brayden Carter.
That's the lifeblood of the right's media apparatus, buddy. Conspiracy, psychodrama, and tabloid conflicts. Like, okay. What would you have if you didn't have those things? What would the appeal be?
The call isn't just coming from inside the house. The call is the fucking house. Right. You guys have nothing else.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I honestly wish you did. I wish we would start arguing about tax cuts and I could fucking just shit on you guys for not wanting to give kids free school lunch. I wish that was the parameters of our debate.
Right.
But instead, we got to argue about whether or not lizard people killed Charlie Kirk. You guys fucking did this, man. Yep. So, yeah, fucking eat shit, Chris Rufo. Get them, go away.
Yeah, you know, you made the bed. Now you got to get fucking killed by basement dwelling chuds who disagree with you in that bed, I guess, eventually. But
yeah.
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
I do want to say, we don't have time to get into it, but there's another other intercending, I don't want to say that word, right-wing beefs. Congressman Dan Crenshaw is currently in a fight with fellow former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan, because Sean Ryan called him going soft for getting rich, and it goes back to Dan Crenshaw allegedly hiring Steve Aoki to DJ his 40th birthday party last year. Show throw this flyer up there, Matt. So, yeah, they're all fucking each other alive. They have no idea what to do when they're in charge of stuff because everything fucking sucks and they own it now. They don't know how to govern. So, yeah, we're just stuck here now. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. I'm going to remind you real quick, by the way, this is the final episode of 2025, which, if you recall, if you've been around for a while, this is standard. This is what we do every year, I do believe. So, yeah, we'll see y'all in 2026. It's because of holiday shit, travel and all that, you know, and just try to drink eggnog and have fun. And we'll see you on the other time, you know, around the turn in early January. But thanks for watching in 2025 and before. We appreciate you. And, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my tour dates, all that. Sign up on Patreon, weeklyshoes.com/more, and check out Good Skews, producer Matt's audio exclusive side project. But yeah, so we'll see you next year, I reckon. Not as long as it sounds. Love you. Bye.